Well, here we are for our roundtable. Speaking of weighing in and giving great advice, we are going to talk today about setting boundaries in dating, specifically around how far is too far when it comes to emotional and physical intimacy. And so we have got Patrick, Janina, and Matt here. Hey, guys.
Hey there. Hey.
Hello.
Good to have you. All right. We have got... Actually, both Matt and Janina are recently married. Matt, welcome back to the show. 4 months into marriage.
Thank you.
Great to have you. Janina, you're just at coming up on a month.
Yeah.
So super awesome. And then Patrick, also married, but also a counselor. So he's just going to be talking about all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we should jump right in here and ask all y'all, when you think of the term boundaries in dating and you look back on your dating experience, is this something that you thought you would have to have a plan for? Or did you think this is not going to be as hard as people make it out to be? Or clearly, I know what I need to be doing and this is okay. What were your expectations going into it? What did you assume?
I don't think I ever think things are as hard as people say they're going to be.
Okay.
I'm very much figure it out as you go along, don't put a lot of stress on it. But then inevitably I put a lot of stress on it.
Okay.
For me, I kind of thought that I just needed to lay out the big one, that no sex before marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else would kind of fall into place. But it's a lot of the little things, like what about PDA? What about handholding? What about kissing in public? Those little things I didn't think I needed to think through, but... I needed to think those through because those would kind of come up as, oh, I don't want to kiss.
Yeah.
But, oh, you never talked about that, stuff like that.
Yeah.
The biggest struggles I had were to figure out where to go for dinner or the movie, those kinds of questions. I didn't really think about any other kind of boundary.
Okay. Wow. So kind of across the map there. I remember me too, because I think of myself as I've said many times on the show that if I take the Myers-Briggs, my T is off the charts. So I'm I'm a thinker. So clearly emotions aren't going to rule me and I'm not going to get all weird and caught up in whatever. And then you realize you start dating someone and everything just rational goes out the window and you're just I'm just not them. So it's all manner of crazy, I think. But doesn't it seem weird? I mean, again, I think it's great to say, oh, I really want to think this stuff through on the front end. But at the same time, it seems like you're kind of to Matt's point, overthinking it. Or then doesn't it kind of just seem weird of you're making everything super legalistic or super, on paper and stuff?
Yeah, truly. We can overthink this kind of stuff and turn dating into a legalistic type of event rather than just going out and having fun. That said, if you don't know who you are going into a date or a relationship, then things can go haywire pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's start with the guys. What did setting appropriate boundaries look for you? Did you find physical boundaries more difficult or emotional boundaries or, I think different boundaries come into play. And what, did you feel you had a good game plan going in?
On the emotional side, the one thing that I really remember going over that quite a bit on was right when my wife and I started dating, we kind of went into it with the perspective of, okay, we are going to kind of have fun with this. We're going to be loose and free with it. Mm-hmm. I think we said, we don't want to kiss for a while. We're going to kind of keep the physical out of it for a month or two or three. But one really wise emphasis she put right at the beginning was let's not talk about our lives together forever right now. Let's not talk about the children we're going to have. Let's not talk about where we're going to live in 10 years. Let's just kind of be present, which was a huge win for me because that's what I love to do is be present.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very astute observation on her part of her personality and how she tends to go deep with things. And then, I mean, it's easy for me to do that too. So it was very helpful on the emotional front right at the beginning.
Yeah. So it wasn't her writing her name with yours, being a weekend, which I think a lot of women do.
Yeah. And I think some people could hear that and be like, oh my gosh, are you even interested in me? I don't understand why you put this wall up right at the beginning. But it was really kind of an over-communication that clarified a lot right at the beginning, which was very nice on the emotional side.
Okay. How about you, Patrick?
Yeah, I think I tie into what you just shared. Truly, the emotional for me was my biggest fear. I didn't want to dive in head over heels and just get hurt. So it was more of a fear of blurting out to my wife when we began to date, I just really love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I wanted to really hold back on that. and be a little bit more reserved. Still show affection. And at the same time, sometimes emotions are hard to struggle with a little bit and struggle through.
Mm-hmm. And then how about you, Janina? Did you, I mean, I know you said kind of as you were introing it, you know, you didn't realize, you thought, okay, well, we're not going to have sex before marriage, but you didn't realize how some of the other things can kind of chip away. How did you discover those during the course of the relationship?
Yeah, I think it was through just kind of going around. Like, I started dating guys and in school, in high school. My first relationship was with a guy that I knew in high school. So we'd kind of just be like going around, like holding hands, walking together. And then sometimes he'd randomly come and want to kiss me in front of people. And I just hate PDA. If I feel like I make other people uncomfortable, mm-hmm. I become uncomfortable. Mm. So just through little things like that, things that were totally not meant to be harmful, just supposed to be really sweet. And if it's really spur of the moment, it some people would think it comes off as romantic, and that's totally fine. But for me, it's like I want to be warned if you're going to do something so that I have the option to say, I feel uncomfortable. So that's kind of how that would kind of come up. But luckily, I mean, those were kind of one-off things. Mm-hmm. My physical boundaries were always respected, really. Mm-hmm. I've never dated someone who really tried to surpass them. And mm-hmm. so it's never been a huge problem for me, which is really nice.
Yeah. So kind of projecting it out a little bit, I feel like we hear from a lot of folks here at Boundless who are like, I never expected, like in my current relationship or these other relationships, I never expected to go XYZ far. You know, we always assume like this is going to be easier than it is. It's going to be what. And then they say, OK, but now I'm with my boyfriend or my girlfriend. And, you know, it seems like every time we're together, we have sex and we don't know what are we doing wrong. We don't know how to do this differently. Like, what is some of your counsel or advice to them as to, like, literally, I think they go into a relationship thinking, I can do this. I can do this. Yeah. But somehow they're not doing it. And they think it's kind of like they're powerless to stop it. So what would you say, you know, kind of backing up from the situation as from your own experience?
Mm-hmm. First and foremost, know who you are as a child of God before you go into a dating relationship or a relationship of any sort, for that matter. Once you cross a boundary, the next time it's so much easier to cross the second boundary and then the next and then the next. And before you know it, you find you're on a journey you never anticipated being on. And those are the folks that that I will connect with at some point who are covered in shame and regret and wondering how they got to where they are today.
Yeah, I think that by kind of being fulfilled where you are now, in your singleness and kind of going into a relationship, in the back of your mind, remembering that the relationship with that other flawed human is not going to necessarily fulfill you. And you should not be expecting that there's a part of you that's missing and that person is going to fill it, because ultimately only our Lord can really fill mm-hmm. our emptiness. So I feel like as someone who was not always super in tune with what God had planned for me, I kind of was going into relationships hoping for some kind of fulfillment in the physicality of it. It doesn't really fulfill you in the way you think it's going to. Mm-hmm. So by kind of knowing that relationships are meant to be fun, dating's supposed to be fun, but it's not supposed to fulfill you in that way, you kind of thirst for that kind of thing less, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think maybe just like a practical addition to what you guys are saying here, when we had that first little talk about like the future and expectations for the emotional side of things, it was so attractive to me, sort of like that this girl in front of me was saying, "Hey, you don't define me." Again, huge knockdown point for the guy, potentially, which fortunately it wasn't, but it was like, wow, she really knows who she is mm-hmm. and she really knows what she wants out of this. And that's amazing. And it was kind of like, wow, I gotta like level up here a little bit. Like this girl's pretty solid. So I gotta level up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I almost want to back up with that because it's like, I feel like so many people and probably some of this is the culture, but I feel like we even do it, you know, in Christian circles, this idea that once you get into this romantic relationship, it does start defining you, or it changes your identity, or it's supposed to be, it's something that supersedes, you know, who you are as an individual before Christ. Well, now I'm married, so now we're like this team, and now we're going to be even more awesome for God. And I think people get so caught up in that, both for good reasons, you know, they want to be more spiritual or whatever, but also for some selfish reasons. And I think it's problematic because it starts, you know, we've talked about this before on the show, where all of a sudden all the other friends start falling to the wayside, all the family members start, and this relationship just becomes central to everything. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like, I mean, let's talk about just some general boundaries that you think are necessary that you saw play out in relationships, whether that was, you know, Matt started out by talking about the types of things they would talk about, but like about time, about, you know, the amount of energy put into a relationship. I feel like I remember dating guys and even texting. Like, I feel like I would counsel anyone that when you start dating someone, if you are texting even multiple times, like within an hour, like that is nuts. Well, first of all, you should have a job. And so hopefully you're not right. doing that at work. But I mean, it's like constant, you know, you feel like you're going to be constantly beholden to the communication right. of this person. It's just back and forth, 24/7. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of the first clue into getting to know a person of like, you've got to maintain your sense of self and your own time and your own boundaries. I don't know. That's just one I would throw out. What else?
Mm-hmm. Priorities. Mm-hmm. Priorities are key. First, knowing what is your priority with the Lord? Who is your God in all this? Mm-hmm. Are you seeking a relationship for His glory or for your own need mm-hmm. of fulfillment? You know?
Mm-hmm. I think one classic thing that people talk about in relationships is being able to do stuff without having to ask permission, mm-hmm. especially if you're just dating and you're not engaged yet, you're not married yet.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like you said, like you are your own individual person. Mm-hmm. You can do stuff. You don't have to ask permission. I mean, if you want to let them know, I mean, I'm sure the other person would be pleased. Like, oh, thanks for at least letting me know you're doing that. But to say, oh, I want to go out with some friends. We're going to do something. Can I go? Mm. You know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
The decisions you make
yeah.
should not be dependent on another person in that way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think one or two of the ways we approached that was that we each had things that we did on our own. Like, I think she was part of a women's Bible study that she was part of, and I had like a little guys group that meets on Friday mornings that I hung out with. But then we also took a couple classes, like emotionally healthy relationships and emotionally healthy spirituality. I was very not emotionally healthy when we started doing this, by the way, and learned a lot along the way. But mm-hmm. Taking classes together, doing that sort of thing, gave us like, okay, here's some of our specific time that is set aside together. And then, you know, afterwards we talk about it, get like a Thai tea or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then it was like going home. She had her roommates and I had my roommates. And honestly, that was kind of one of the benefits of like choosing not to live together before we were married, was that mm-hmm. we had automatic built-in friend time still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I would also say, I mean, another thing I noticed and have noticed with friends as well is the minute you start getting, whether it's online communication, texting, whatever, in person, I mean, for that matter, you get into like very suggestive flirting and stuff. I see mm-hmm. a lot of people cross that boundary because, again, you know, Janina said at the beginning, mm-hmm. well, you know, you want to not have sex and stuff. And I think people draw this line of like, that's the tantamount, that's the paragon of, okay, that's doing it right and whatever. But then all these little things chip away at it. And I've seen so many, I mean, I think there's an element. I had a friend who had this in a relationship, and this guy was just super inappropriate as a believer, a self-described believer, in the types of things he would say, the comments he would make about her and stuff. And I think it was two-pronged. One, she liked it, so she let it continue. And two, she was afraid of his opinion. You know, she didn't want to seem like the prude. She didn't want to be like the weird, like, you know, oh, I don't want to be his mom and tell him what he shouldn't be doing. And I'm like, that is like, if that were your brother or some random, like if you had a coworker that was saying that to women, you would not be okay with that, you know, right. But you're taking it as from a date.
Yeah, and I think it's on, if it's online and you can't see the person face to face, it's just so it's a lot easier for people to kind of fall into bad habits of communication when it's not face to face.
Yeah,
just like it's so easy to say a really mean comment on Facebook about someone, where if you were face to face, it would be really tough for you to do it because you would have to deal with hearing that person say to your face, "How dare you say that to me?" So I feel like it's easy for people to be willing to dish out that those kinds of inappropriate comments if you don't get to see the person face to face. But also, it's easy for people to be flattered by that kind of thing too. So it's kind of like a vicious cycle. Some guy keeps telling you really appropriate comments, like, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, they think I'm pretty. They are say they'd be willing to do all these really gross things. That means they like me, you know." And sometimes I feel like when I was younger, I would be willing to look past the grossness of it, because there was a guy in high school who would say really gross things to me online. I'd be like, "Oh, so gross," but I'm like, "Oh, but they like me. Oh, that's so cool," you know. And especially that was before I dated anybody, so I was really impressionable to that kind of thing. So it can be dangerous.
Patrick might have some good resources on this, but I want to throw one out too. I don't know if this guy's been on the podcast or not, but like Henry Cloud's Boundaries in Dating was a book. I think I read three quarters of it. I don't know if anybody ever finishes books like that, but right when I started dating.
Go back and reread it, Matt.
It's all I had ever heard was like Henry Cloud, Boundaries in Dating. And it's kind of like the authoritative practical manual on how should you be treated when you're dating somebody? And like, even if it feels good, is it really good for you and for them for now and for the future?
You know, I think since the advent of social media, there's such this sense of instant gratification or the reward system where we communicate or we get a like or we get a heart on a post, and that excites us. Well, back when I was dating my wife, I had a rotary phone, so I had to dial that thing. And I would actually role play a little bit how I was going to even talk to her on the phone. So there was a whole lot of time there to make sure I wasn't going to say anything dumb. And not to mention my parents were in the same room because we only had one phone in the house.
Yeah.
And she can hang up at any time.
Exactly.
Too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got to keep it going.
So let's give folks a little picture of, and go ahead and speak from your own experience, what does it look like in a dating relationship to do this well? What did you guys do? I mean, you could give what you did well, what you didn't do well, maybe, but how can they really learn from this to say, this is actually really important? You know, I mean, some things you could take it or leave it depending on your personality and whatever, but this is what I really found most helpful.
I found it helpful to always keep a line of communication at least open. Doesn't mean you're texting all the time, doesn't mean you're with each other all the time, but with my now husband, we would kind of tell each other, "Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going off with friends. I'll see you later." Or I'd tell him what I'm doing. But we would not really ask permission. Can I do this? Can I do that? We did our own things. We had our own hobbies. They were very different. But then we also had hobbies that we could figure out how to do together. But always being willing to talk about things doesn't mean you're always talking, but being willing to talk. So when it comes to doing the different things, you know, that kind of communication, staying open, but also emotionally being able to say, "I don't want to talk about that," or "I don't want to do that." And then having a discussion about that kind of thing and how that's going to look forward. Like the next time a temptation comes up to want to do something, how to address it. So keeping a line of communication, I think, is the thing that's been most helpful for me.
That's good.
And on the physical boundaries part, we had a wonderfully awkward conversation right when we started dating that a buddy of mine who's super type A had encouraged me to have. And for him, he like went into the conversation with a list of things like, "This is what I'm comfortable touching," like like body part by body part kind of. And for me, that was just a little too much. So we kind of sat down. It was a beautiful fall day. I think we were in a hammock, and take it or leave it, but we did. We were like, "Hey, how about this? How about that?" And listed off kind of everything we could think of, sexually and physically. And we drew a line, like literally on a piece of paper, and then we signed it. We're kind of nerdy. And I found this piece of paper the other day, and it was like a nice special moment. But then we also, throughout the months,
we were sitting next to each other in this hammock, because that would be a super weird conversation to have if you're
we wanted to feel
close
while
we
were doing
I just want to make sure that this was appropriate even from the get-go.
Well, I mean,
you were sitting in the hammock.
Take or leave the boundaries as you like.
Yeah.
But Yeah, and then we adjusted those even as time went on. But it was always like during the day, and we both had to agree to it. And we even set like timelines for ourselves. Like, hey, we're not going to be alone after 10 o'clock, right? And we started out dating. And really, we don't have to be out after midnight with anybody because we want to be healthy and get sleep.
Yeah, that's good.
More than anything, be who you are. Be your authentic self. More than anything, what I deal with when I meet with couples is they say to me, I saw the flags. I saw the yellow flashing light, and yet I continued to move forward, and now I'm miserable. Mm-hmm. So be your authentic self. If you're being someone that you're not truly are inside of yourself, if you're being someone that's just not you, you're going to live to regret it. And those are the folks that I end up dealing with in couples counseling later on down the road. So it's very important.
Yeah. Yeah. I think just from my experience, I would say kind of to that point, know who you are, know what you between you and God, what is acceptable for you, what isn't acceptable for you. You decide that in your own head before you're even in a relationship. So that is whether you have a conversation with a drawing or whatever.
There were no drawings. Just writing,
Just writing. Okay. I just had this what do you call those? The murder scene, like the person.
The little chalk outline.
Chalk outline on there.
Yeah.
You go in and if you have to initiate the conversation, you just do it and make it awkward if you need to. Yeah. And, but again, realizing that it's okay to go there. So, well, thanks guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.